the last few weeks, we've been talking about a secret to a happy life. We've been talking and covering Matthew chapter 5, and here we are with Christmas in full swing. Everybody's in the mood for Christmas, and people all over the world are spending billions of dollars on themselves and on their families and on their friends, trying to buy that one perfect gift that will make that one special person in their life happy. So we asked the question a few weeks ago, what is the secret to happiness? You see, the United States Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, enshrines the right of everyone to a happy life. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But why is it that we find happiness is so very elusive in our lives? The world is energetically and enthusiastically runs after all forms of happiness, but that happiness seems to be just outside of the grasp. The relentless pursuit of happiness drives the age that we live in. By a constant failure to grasp it only amplifies the misery of the pursuit of it. We try and we try and we try all sorts of things to make us happy. We buy gifts. We buy products. We buy stuff in abundance. Maybe we've sought happiness in drugs and alcohol or smoking, all trying to make us a happy person. We could spend money buying book after book after book on happiness and trying to teach us and help us to learn to be happy with no avail. Or we could read the one book. We could read the Bible, where a tried and true and a tested secret of happiness was recorded a few thousand years ago, written in the Psalm 32 by King David. You see, Psalms 32, it starts with happiness. The word here, blessed, is not a normal Hebrew word, but if we were to translate that, it would be the same word as we discovered in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes. Blessed means happy. It's not just a superficial buzzword of the day, but it's a deep foundation for contentment and joy in our lives. Psalms 32 says, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night my hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye, but ye not as a horse nor as a mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. What is the key or the secret to happiness? It's to simply forgive. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. You see, David begins by laying out his theological understanding. And David knows that the secret of happiness is a right relationship with his Creator. We see in verse 1 and verse 2, happy is those whose transgressions, whose sin is forgiven. Happy is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Forgiveness of sins is the secret of happiness, because it restores us in a right relationship with God. And it's the incredible truth that David had an understanding, is that forgiveness of sins is available. Forgiveness of sins is available. And so often the case, you and I, we take it for granted. David is saying here that we, as sinners, fundamentally out of a relationship with a holy God, we have no right, nor should we expect forgiveness. Nevertheless, God says, writing through King David, tells us that forgiveness is available. David describes for us the sheer comprehensiveness of the forgiveness of sins that is available to each and every individual. In verse 1, his transgression is forgiven. A transgression, what is a transgression? It is the breaking of God's law, and it is an act of rebellion against God. You see, understand one thing, that justice demands a punishment for a transgression. In the Old Testament law, it prescribes that we would have to sacrifice an animal. And the sacrificial blood of that animal was an atonement for our transgressions. David has understood that God can forgive, although he doesn't yet know what God's ultimate plan is. But David was in God's plan. We read in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, a sin is an offense against God. It is something that is offensive to God. You see, sin is that foul garbage that we allow to build up and collect in our lives, and it needs to be buried and covered. It needs to be buried in baptism and covered by His blood. I love that song, "I am covered, I am covered, I am covered by His blood, walking in faith, living in love. I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. Satan has no control on my life." You see, David understood that God can cover sin, although he didn't understand fully that someday God would actually come to this earth Himself. An earth that He created, and He subject Himself to His own creation. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and He lives a life, and He dies on a cross. And through the shedding of His blood, He buries the garbage or the sin in our lives. David has an understanding, and he understands that God can cancel that moral debt or that sin as it concurs. But see, like a financial debt, a moral debt or a sin debt can never really be canceled, because someone somewhere has to pay. You see, David doesn't know that one day on a cross, Jesus Christ, God, reconciled Himself to the world, not counting man's sins against Him. God came to earth, robed Himself in flesh in a man called Jesus, and He paid our debt of sin. So although King David had a healthy theology of forgiveness, He doesn't enjoy the advantage of being on this side of Calvary. He understood thoroughly that the God who revealed himself to Moses as the great I am, a God that is merciful and gracious, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. So I have to ask you this night, why are so many Christians and why are so many people living in our world so miserable so much of the time? Perhaps you notice the one problem in these verses for which there is no remedy given. When we look at the end of verse 2, happy is the man whose spirit is no deceit. You see, this is the key. There's no remedy is given for this because the remedy is down to us. You see, the only thing that can interfere with my happiness, the only thing that can interfere with my forgiveness is my deceit or my sin. You see, as my deceit is the instance in which I feel I don't need forgiveness. You see, if I claim to be without sin, then I'm deceiving myself. So the only remedy for this deceit, the only path to true happiness, is what John says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do we understand? Can we grasp that? Can we wrap our minds around that? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, the secret of happiness is that true forgiveness is available. In closing tonight, if you would stand to your feet, but we fall so short of happiness because we tell ourselves that we really don't need forgiveness. You see, John 3:5 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no loopholes in that scripture. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? A legitimate question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So how am I born again? We go to Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2, verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Forgiveness. Happiness. Happiness is repentance. Happiness is being baptized. And happiness is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many of you tonight are looking for a happier life? You want a happy, you just fed up. Maybe, perhaps you're a Christian, you've walked away from God, and you've strayed away for many years. You're struggling and you're trying to find that happiness. Listen, trust me, I've been there. You can't spend your way out of it. It ain't gonna happen. Repentance, forgiveness. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a problem with the person across the sanctuary from you. understand one thing about forgiveness is your Heavenly Father won't forgive you if you won't forgive your brother. It just, he made, I didn't put it that way. He made it that way. He says, you know what, if you got a problem with your brother and you won't forgive them, then I'm not going to forgive you. So you live a life of misery because you won't forgive someone. Maybe you've never repented of your sins. Maybe you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never spoken in tongues. What an awesome experience. So I want to open up this front of our sanctuary here tonight, this altar area. Maybe you fit in one of those three categories. Maybe you're just struggling with just trying to get your way back. I want to open this up tonight. You see, the key to happiness is forgiveness. You can go ahead and sing. Sick in your body tonight. Maybe you came here with an affliction.
Jesus,
I invite you to come down to the front. Ministers and elders and our altar team.
Me, the lost, for the lonely, you came. Jesus, you. The outcast, the defeat.